This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Zach Robinson and Leo Bernberg. They are composers for the Netflix series Cobra Kai, The Return of the Karate Kid. And they've also written the music for the video game. And it's great to have a chance to meet you and talk about the music.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, the series is based on, well, it started on YouTube and now it's on Netflix, which is amazing. And it's doing incredibly well. And it's set 34 years after the film, The Karate Kid. And I know there's a lot of nostalgia for, you know, movies and stuff from the 80s and music as well. So it'd be fun to just find out, you know, just right off the bat, what you guys thought about as you were writing music for the video series. And then we can talk about how that morphed into music for the game.
It's a great question. And it's a supernatural like loop between the series and the game and the series. And there's a lot of influences in the Cobra Kai score, sort of a bunch of different facets of the 1980s. And one of them that was very important from literally the first episode, we had a very specific conversation with the showrunners, John, Josh, and Hayden, about it, was that we wanted to bring some like nostalgia elements from 80s beat-em-up arcade games, because we just felt like the universe of the show is sort of a narrative beat-em-up arcade game in a lot of ways. And so Streets of Rage, Double Dragon, we always talk about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the game that we both played a lot of. I mean, we're more of like early 90s kids. So when we were like five, we were like watching The Karate Kid because it was just always on TV. And we were always playing those games. And so amongst like, you know, there's a lot of like 80s orchestral music in the show too, and a lot of hair metal influence, just all the facets of the 80s, but we very specifically tried to bring in these influences from beat 'em up side scrollers, which is amazing, because then when the game became an opportunity, it's like we were giving back to the influence that we brought in the first place.
Oh, that's so cool. So Zach, if you had to like deconstruct what makes those soundtracks from the 80s sound that way, I mean, what were some of the things that you really thought were important to include in the music?
Our number one thing is that we always kind of go for sincerity, even though it might sound cheesy, quote unquote. So a lot of the things that have kind of over the years been designated as cheesy, like certain like synth strings or, you know, kind of fake like orchestra sounds from a synthesizer, or fake choir, or, you know, a cheesy lead synth, or, you know, hair metal guitar type stuff. We fully embrace that entire catalog of cheese, and we utilize it to the best of our abilities because we love it. And I think that kind of guides us in a way that a lot of other people don't go, because either they're afraid of what it's going to sound like, or they're afraid of what other people might say, or it might not work. Like most of the time it just doesn't quite work. But with the game in particular, we knew that home base was, as Leo said, was like these early 90s games. And I think even beyond the actual sounds, the vibe is you know, they're songs. They're like we wanted to create songs for the game as opposed to score cues. And these are songs that have a lot of kind of like metal influence, a lot of jazz fusion influence. Those are other genres that we grew up with. And like I was in a metal band that kind of was inspired by video game music. And it all, as Leo said, it really was this big circle. And it felt almost like a homecoming kind of doing this game in that way.
Yeah, I bet.
We'll be right back.
how much of the game did you get to see when you were brought in to work on the project? I mean, how much?
A little bit, but honestly, like not a huge amount. Most of what we were going off of was a list of levels that we got sent by the game is from Game Mill, but the most of the production work was done in Brazil.
Flux Studios.
So Flux sent us a list of like, hey guys, this is what we think we need. And it was just like a list of levels with some like occasionally funny translations, which made it like even fun, like even more fun to like dive into. Like I have yet to really know what the level big houses means, but I love it. And we would just kind of go through, and like Zach said, the levels are very, it's not really like complicated music integration. Like it's just in general, like a 3-minute piece that loops, because that's the style of your retro beat 'em up game. There's not a lot of interacting with the environment where layers are coming in and out. I mean, that's like a whole art to video game scoring that, you know, we didn't really touch on in this project. But as a result, like we kind of could make everything just like musical and jammy as possible. And we would write these things sometime for a specific level and sometimes kind of just go down a road and then be like, okay, like which level do we think this one like really embodies, and then like match them up and send them over. Yeah.
Wow. Did they give you any kind of like temp music to sort of give you ideas of where to get started, or did they just leave that up to you?
The funny thing about this project is the only guidance that we got was we wanted to sound like Cobra Kai. Well, by nature of us doing it, it was going to sound like Cobra Kai because we invented the sound of
like
Cobra Kai.
Whatever we say, so Cobra Kai sounds like.
Yeah. And I give them a lot of credit. They trusted us when we said that. And there was some back and forth because we had not done a game before. There were certain things that they did need to guide us in terms of like, hey, you can't have a certain piece of music be faster than the boss level music. And it was like, oh, of course, that makes a lot of sense. But we hadn't thought about that. So they gave us guidance like that. But in terms of like the actual style of the music, it goes back to this whole thing that Leo started with, that like Cobra Kai, the score for the show is inspired by video game music. And it was very natural to just write video game music in the style of Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing how we just got the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Because it really felt like it was always destined to be this way.
That is so cool. I didn't realize this was your first game score, because it's such a great fit with the game. And I know one of the things that composers, the thing that they wrestle with sometimes is making the music interactive and making loops and stuff. But it sounds like you guys didn't really, apart from loops, you didn't really have to deal with that very much. So that must have made it a little bit more straightforward.
100%. Like, yeah. Mechanically, it was pretty straightforward because like we can write a loop. So we at least mastered that part of the game equation.
Well, there are cutscenes in this game too. So that must have been a lot more like writing to picture, like for the series.
It was pretty similar. It was like we knew we were going to have a tension cutscene, and we knew we were going to have kind of like a neutral and like a mini game. You know, we played a lot of games. Like we knew what it was going to sound like, really. Like we didn't need to see that much because we just like knew the style.
Yeah, for sure. I bet nobody believed you when you said, "Oh yeah, I'm playing Street Fighter for research," right? I mean, it's just
sure.
Well, there are just such wonderful sounds in there in the game score, and I'm wondering if it was hard to track some of them down. I mean, were there instruments that you really wanted to use that there weren't samples for, or you had to like make your own sounds for them?
Well, before we wrote a note on the game, we spent a little time putting like a palette together, like a template that was going to be specific to the game. And we used that master file in terms of picking all of our synth sounds, especially like, I would say probably sonically the biggest difference between the game and the show is that we record a lot less in the game. Like it's all, like we wanted it all to sound like it's coming from a synth world, even if it's like a synth bass and a synth strings and synth mallets and whatnot. And on the show, we really go for kind of like a, I guess you could say hi-fi, like very cinematic execution of the music. And so like, we kind of set up this palette and Zach especially really dived in there on the palette building part of the equation and was like, okay, we're gonna use these three bass sounds. And then we stuck to that for almost everything. And I think it gives it all kind of its own enclosed sound world. So like every level, you never sound like, oh man, what is this? Like we've gone, we've veered off into some, like we're looking for a way to tie it together. And that was really helpful, I think, in terms of just like organizing our thoughts ahead of time is to sort of limit our options in a lot of ways.
I would add that it just kept us at bay in terms of not like veering into, we didn't want it to sound quite like this show. So it kept us in a certain boundary that allowed us to differentiate the score for the game from the show. We didn't, it didn't like, once we had our kind of template and the sounds picked out, we weren't going to go diving into like our score cue files from the show and start working out of those. And we were not allowed, just to add separately, like this is all new material. So like we didn't use anything from the show. There's no music from the show, no themes, nothing used in the game. It's all new material. It's kind of the extended Cobra Kai verse.
Sort of the B-sides of the,
yes. Of the show. And no, and we really like thinking of it that way, especially since we got to like release an album of the game score, which doesn't always happen. Like it's really fun for us to think of that as kind of like, you know, we've got three seasons of the show now, and then, you know, the game is the fourth installment here. Like it's all the same sound universe and cinematic universe. And yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. And what's so interesting about the music is that there are the two competing dojos. There's the Cobra Kai dojo and then the Miyagi-Do dojo. And they both have their different like sound identities. And at least to my mind, that's what it sounds like. The Miyagi-Do is, I don't know, just like a little bit more mystical or something. And so I'm wondering how you decided to give each one of those their own personality.
I think mystical is a really cool word for that. I hadn't thought about that, but there is something mystical. It's a lot of like, well, there's a lot of bells and flutes and mallet sounds from Miyagi-Do. And then Cobra Kai is obviously guitar and a lot of shred guitar. And on certain levels, main levels, if you're playing as Miyagi-Do, you won't hear as much shred guitar as you'll hear bells and mallets. And vice versa, if you're playing Cobra Kai, you'll hear a guitar solo, maybe rather than like a digital flute solo. Same with the game over stings and with the mission accomplished stings. Like those are different depending on the dojos that you got.
I was just going to say that's something the guys at Flux like pitched to us at the like very early. They were like, oh, we were like thinking it, like, wouldn't it be cool to have like parallel versions because you can play as either dojo? And we were like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's figure out how to execute it. And so we did.
Is it interactive enough so that depending on which side you're playing, the music changes? You know, if like a Miyagi-Do fighter wins or a Cobra Kai fighter wins?
Yeah, there's like a series of stings that are unique to each dojo. So depending on what you're playing as. And then there's a couple like home base musics for each dojo when you're like in the dojo and like leveling up and on menus that carries you through. And then on some of the levels, like Zach said, like different melodic elements will play the lead in like the same piece of music if, you know, depending on which dojo you, the player, are playing as. It's pretty cool. It's actually like, I think that's the one thing where like if we had infinite time on this project or just like, you know, more months, we could go like really far down that rabbit hole. Although maybe it's best that it's like, no, we're just gonna, you know, do what you can kind of thing. But yeah, I would say that's probably the most sort of like interactive element we had to design, even though like we didn't have to think about the implementation so much.
Did you have a chance to see any concept art for some of the different areas, like the arcade or, you know, some of the different areas where the stages are that kind of helped you identify music for them or give them their own like musical identity?
The very first concept art we saw was literally like concept art of the characters of like Johnny and Daniel, and then most importantly, like the goons and the villains that you fight, which there's infinite of. And I think that's what got us the most excited because we knew that they kind of got the vibe. Like we had our idea of what a game should be for Cobra Kai years ago when we first started. We were like, oh, there should be a game for this eventually. And then when we saw like what the design was and we heard that the pitch was like Streets of Rage or something like that, we were like, okay, so they totally get it. And the first thing we saw was the character design. And then I think we saw the tutorial level, which was arcade. And that was really it. We really did not get to see a ton of levels. Maybe halfway through, we saw a few of them. But we never really veered away from like our initial plotting of how this was going to sound, and seeing all the art just reinforced like already like how we were feeling about the score and what we were going to do. And I think it was a very like everyone felt the same way. It was a really collaborative like unifying process.
I will say like Zach and I philosophically put a high premium on collaborating with people who quote unquote get it. Like it's something we talk about all the time, and what that exactly means is a little amorphous, but in this case, it meant like the minute we saw the concept, like the character designs, we were like, these guys get it. Like there was like a character of like John Kreese, who's like the bad guy in the series, at least as of now. And he's like kind of looking like Ganondorf a little bit, and like, but also like maybe looking
yeah,
a bit like a like Dragon Ball Z character. And we were just like, oh, this is like this is the exact vibe. Like it's so there. And like when we work on the show, we think of this like the, you know, the showrunners are people we consider get it in a major way. But even like our guitar player, our drummer, like these are people who you would all describe as like get it when we sort of like reach out a musical idea in their direction. They know exactly how to like grab it and interpret it within this, like Zach said early on, like kind of cheesy, self-referential way that is done very sincerely. That's what get it means.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm curious about how much of like those shred guitar riffs were written down. I mean, when you went into the recording session or you sent the music to the guitarist, did you write down every single note or just kind of say, hey, here's the feeling we're going for here, just go to town?
Zach's a great guitar player.
Some of it is me.
Wow.
And so we didn't replace it. And some of it is, no, we did not write everything. The short answer is we did not write everything down. There were, I think most of the, like the lead stuff we did, if there was a lead melody, we'll write it down. But the nice thing is that a lot of the times, like a lead guitar is doubling maybe some like MIDI that's playing. So it's already automatically kind of like easily transcribable. But yeah, as Leo said, we had some amazing guitar players that play on the show as well. Andrew Sinowick and Pat Lukens, AKA Myrone. is his stage name. And they both, especially Myron, who actually has done video game scores in the past, like you hand them a song and you say, this is, we need some guitar over this and here's the melody. And then, you know, do the rest and it'll come back like as if, you know, we, it came out of our brains. Like they totally understand the like nuances to the style. And sometimes I mean, they're so, you know, we spend so much time with the demos before we record anything. And a lot of the times on the demos, I'm not happy with my guitar. And I always consider like giving another guitarist, it's like taking a bath. It's like washing out all the gunk. And then I get to listen to like a better guitar player, like shred over something. And I'm like, okay, I still listen to it. I'm like, wow, there's so many like awesome little nuanced things that they do. So yeah, that's mostly how we do it with guitar.
One thing that was really fun about the game that we get to do in the show too, but not quite as much because like you're always cognizant of like picture and what's going on in the story, is write like solo sections for just like absolute insane guitar shredding. Like there's in the show when we do that, like we really have to find the spots where it's not going to distract from picture. And it's like, you know, often during a fight scene, if there's just some like unbridled fun going on, but in the game, like it's all unbridled fun. So like, if we want to just shred for, part of the verse or the whole verse in within our greater loop, like we can totally do that. And I think that was really fun and made it extra fun to kind of hand off to our guitar players.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and then because you've got a few different versions and stuff and you've got that sort of just flat out improv stuff, that must have made it a little bit easier to make the loops then, because you've got a lot of variety.
It's true.
Yeah,
because you can always get you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds out of that loop with a guitar solo. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great way of doing it. I was going to ask you what you did, because listening to the music in the game, it's hard to hear the loops. So you guys used a lot of, you must have used a lot of variety to kind of keep things fresh and keep it from sounding super repetitive.
We tried to give them like, yeah, it is hard. And I think we gave them like slightly more complicated like forms, which makes it harder to tell where the loop is, because they'll kind of be like within that 2 minutes, like a verse and like sort of a chorus and a bridge. And like some of them loop like after the bridge, or like sometimes there's an intro at the beginning that then like the loop point is like a little after that. And so it just, it's not like we use the same form for every single one. And so I think it gives it a lot of variety. Like when you listen down the album, one thing that I really am proud of and like about it a lot is like there's so much variety when you're like working through the different levels.
Yeah, yeah, there definitely is. And each one of them, even though maybe you didn't have a lot of concept art, I mean, you've probably been to Encino, so you know what it's like.
Oh, wait, this is an amazing story, actually. Zach, can you talk about the map, please?
Okay, so real quick, we did get a map. They showed us a map, which is in the game. Like the it's basically the level select menu. And the map is of the Valley, which is where I'm from. I'm a San Fernando Valley native. And the San Fernando Valley that lives in Cobra Kai and the Karate Kid is a made up valley where karate rules all. The valley in the game is just like a different valley, just completely different valley. But the funniest thing about it was on the map, you've got this team in Brazil who are just probably looking on Google Maps, the street names of Encino and around the valley. And some of the levels are like Hart Street or like Woodley. And I'm like cracking up because these are the most random Encino streets that like I grew up on. Woodley is like, there's the Woodley Market and like bagel broker or whatever. Like there's like a bagel place on that. And my dentist is on Woodley. Like, it is a random, random street. And they're all kind of like connected, like next to each other on this map. And Encino is also a beach city in this map, which made me laugh because it's actually a valley city. But it was a special treat for me being from the valley to just see these street names and have them be levels. It was hilarious. So there's that connection there too. I mean, like we actually got more descriptive name track titles or level titles that Leo had alluded to earlier than what it ended up being like on the album, like one of them was like mountain, or one of them was big houses or a beach club or whatever. So that's really all we had to go for. But like Reseda, I think was one that I know that's one of Leo's favorites, but like Reseda was one where that just felt like a Reseda song. What ended up being on that just felt like Reseda.
What makes it feel like Reseda?
It's a bit sassy.
Yeah, it's got this retro multicam vibe, like of TV show. Like I just feel like it's like it embodies like a bunch of like writers in the 80s making a network multicam and like driving to work, and like it's got some sass, and like they all live, you know, they all live in the valley and they all work in the valley, and they're just I love it. I think I don't know. It's intangible. There's something about it that is so funny to me.
After playing games for, you know, years and years and years, what was it like to finally get a chance to write a boss battle?
Oh, the best. What's funny is that, and we love this. This is like what makes us so happy about Cobra Kai, is that on our soundtracks or for the show, we have a bunch of tracks on our soundtrack that like we already consider kind of boss battles, like Hallway Hellscape and... what are some other like boss battle ones from the soundtrack, Leo? Like maybe Cobra, Mall Fight.
Cobra and the Mongoose, Mall Fight.
On our new one, we have a few. Like people recognize, and Cobra we've seen effect. From YouTube comments or people on Twitter. Yeah, people like hear the boss battle kind of like element. And I think what it honestly comes from is like form. I think there's something about energy and form. And there's something about, with a boss battle, it's got to obviously be fast. It's got to be heavy. It's got to be like brooding, but there is this sense of like leveling up during the boss battle. And, you know, we would call that in music terms, like modulating, maybe modulating upwards or something, or speeding up or whatever. And as you're seeing the bad guy blink, like what a classic vibe. And that was in particularly to like, yeah, we're very proud of the boss battles. There's two, there's an overall boss battle, it was kind of mini boss. And then the big final dojo boss track. And again, those are kind of inspired by the show, which are inspired by games. Like this is, we grew up with this stuff, and it's so appropriate. It just felt like very natural. We can't stress that enough how natural it felt to do all this.
Oh, that's so cool. Leo, what was fun about it for you?
I really, really liked diving into the Zach said a little earlier, like, we pulled some like jazz fusion influences in this score, which is kind of essential to that retro video game sound, because like all of those guys in Japan who were scoring these games were like former jazz fusion guys, like, and they were made like, you know, sometimes like saxophone players, sometimes keyboard players, and like they're all off the charts amazing. I grew up as like a huge, huge, huge Pat Metheny fan, even though I don't play guitar, but I was like a jazz nerd in high school. And so like spent so much of my high school just being like, oh, Pat Metheny. And like, even now that's pretty much my weekend. So there's just like tracks all over the place with like some really great jazz fusion vibes. Like pretty much all of the like beach tracks in the game are like especially fusion-y. And that was like a major, major highlight. Also a good opportunity to bust out my iwi, which is like, I'm a saxophone player, or I grew up a saxophone player. I'm extremely out of practice now. But when Zach and I started working on Cobra Kai, the show, I bought an instrument that I had played before, but like did not own, which is like an electronic saxophone. Basically, it stands for electronic wind instrument. You can run it through like a sound module and basically play all sorts of like synth sounds that respond really well to like the breath control of you blowing into it. And it's something that we use a lot of in the show. It's something we use a lot of when we play live, because we, at least before the COVID days, we have this like live concert of Cobra Kai that we play. And these fusion tracks especially were a great chance to like bust out some like, you know, synth pan flutes and like jam on them on the iwi.
Wow.
So yeah, that was a definite highlight.
Yeah, that is so cool. I'm really curious about how your collaboration works, because it seems like, you know, the Venn diagram of the instruments that you play and then Zach, the instruments that you play, it's a great complement to each other. So how does the collaboration work?
A lot of iPhone videos, actually. You know, we've done so much together at this point. And what, Zach, we've been like working together in some capacity since 2012. Does that 12? We just have like an easy vibe, easygoing vibe. And we typically like, you know, when we did this on the game and we do this on the show, like when we kind of have something new we need to start, like we tend to each just have things where it's like, oh, I have an idea for this. Oh, I have an idea for this. And then it's like, okay, cool. Like go to your court and like work on that idea. And then we just kind of trade and like shoot ideas back and forth. Sometimes trade files. Say like, hey, can you play guitar over this? Hey, can you play iwi over this? Like, hey, like I had an idea for some like synth bell sound? Like, can you like mess around with that? Cause like, I'm burnt out on this piece for the night. Like, just, it's a lot of back and forth and just kind of like, I don't know, sending iPhone videos and like being really excited and passionate. We get a long way on just like being hyped.
I think we're going to need to cool it on our iPhone videos for the next season now that there's intense scrutiny on the show.
It sounds like it was a really fun project to work on. And Leo, you touched on what made it fun for you. But Zach, what about for you? What were some of the like highlights of working on the game score?
I think, again, this is our first game and just being gamers. I still play a lot more games than Leo does, I would be safe to say, right, Leo? I play a lot of video games. So that was special for me just to be a part of it. And I think the other thing would be that, like, how do I say this? Like, Cobra Kai was, growing up and finding my voice as a composer involved this video game metal band that I was in. And it also involved this 80s music, electronic music project called DAD that I had kind of like starting in college and leaving college, which I don't quite do anymore, but that has since kind of evolved into what is the Cobra Kai score along with Leo, like that type of 80. And I think it helped us get the gig a little bit too, because we had some of that stuff on the reel. But I think doing the game almost felt like this unfinished business to me, because it felt, I never got to record an album with that band from high school. But I think that there were so many kind of symphonic elements and so many, like, it was me kind of discovering film music and discovering like game music and how composers work and kind of finding my voice. So it really did feel like, I used the word homecoming earlier, but it felt like this completing this kind of unfinished task, like having this album, especially not just the game, but the album, it feels so full to me, especially. And then on top of that, being a part of this Cobra Kai universe, which is now, you know, it was not at Netflix when we did this. This was like early May and April, right as COVID kind of started. And now it just means so much more that it can be shared with everyone in a higher capacity, and people like recognizing it. So it's very special to us.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, is there anything that I didn't get around to talking with you guys about that you'd like people to know about the music or the process of writing the game score?
Well, if you haven't checked out the album, it's streaming everywhere.
We put a lot of thought into like our album construction on the show and on the game. Like, it's a very, like, the project is not finished. You know, the season is not finished until we have like put a solid, I would say, 6 weeks of brain power into like crafting whatever we consider to be the perfect album, all the way from picking the tracks to oftentimes we extend things a little bit for the album, we want it to be as big of a listening experience as possible, the storytelling across the tracks, and like, you know, occasionally tweaking some mixes and then getting it mastered, and even album art. Like, we're really into that stage of the process. And so I think, sort of like Zach was just saying, like, the Cobra Kai moving to Netflix has been like incredible for us for many reasons. It, you know, but one of them that is really special, considering that we did all of the, like, all Cobra Kai music that has been written happened before we knew it was moving to Netflix. And so, like, it's really cool now to see kind of like such, I guess renewed isn't the right term, but just like crazy fervor interest over the music and the scores and the albums. And like, you know, people are just hitting us up constantly about all of them. People want to know if the game score is coming out on vinyl, which is like crazy, you know, like it's, we've been swept up into this like Cobra Kai zeitgeist, and we kind of had so much there ready to go that we had put all this like thought and time into. And so we're just like stoked that people are like on Apple Music and Spotify, like jamming to it now.
That's so, like, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations on your first game score. That's so cool.
And thank you.
It's been so much fun to talk with you, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk again on your next game score. That would be really cool. So
I would love that. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, for sure. It was my pleasure. So good luck with all your future projects. And like I said, hopefully we'll have a chance to talk again soon.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thank you.